This service continued until Mr. Hunter's death. Well, Leonard Smith, who had married into the Humphrey family, was a valuable worker at the mill. His occupation was later when he moved. Filing saws. In his later years, when he was 90 years of age, he still filed saws on the streets of city of Bangor. Let's see. Now, what do you want me to go now, Tom Fair?
Tom Fair,
an influential and wealthy citizen of Prescott Isle, built a store across from the mill where he sold garments, calico materials for the ladies to make the children's clothes, as well as groceries. Around 1892, or thereabouts, a blacksmith shop was built. And H. Simpson, or HIB, as he was called, had the first job of shoeing the horses for the farmers. This was an important industry. Later, when the young people grew up and had their spanky driving horses and went to see their sweethearts, it was valuable to have a horse well shodden. Sherrod and his wife Susie moved to town from and were valuable citizens. He was he continued the horseshoeing business, and she was interested in church activities and civic affairs about the town. Later they moved to the Augusta area. The Oddfellows Hall was built in 1892. Some of the these older citizens, including my father and my uncle, worked diligently in the Duntown Woods to cut down the lumber and haul it with horses, and were very influential in the making of this building, which incidentally was torn down by someone. Another valuable industry was harness making, since our horses were the chief source of Ed Johnson was the first and only watchmaker, harness maker. His shop was located about where, just north of the Tommy Patterson store. He and his daughter, the wife being dead, lived on the Wade Road, about 3 miles from town. I can remember him driving in with his black horse every morning back at night. The daughter became a school teacher, her name being Gladys, and aspired to high rank in the state education. She worked on that picture.
Mrs. Smith, would you tell us something about your experiences as a school teacher?
The first school I taught in the town of Washburn, having taught previously in Wade, was located on the Tabor Road, on the lot where Guy Turner now lives. I walked to school about 2 miles during the good weather. Occasionally, someone would give me a ride, but in the winter, my father would take the double team box sled and drive me out to school. I had to build my own fires when I got there, carrying the board. Shovel the path if one was shoveled. Later, the second year, I got real brave and drove an old plug horse. I'll laugh at this. Put it up at Mr. Tabor's, just above the schoolhouse. One fall, in November, we had a terrible winter storm. I had gone to school with the single wagon, but by nightfall, there were no sign of any roads or tracks of any kind. So I waded up to Mr. Tabor's, determined to take the horse home, because my father wouldn't want the wagon left out there in the winter. Mr. Tabor tried to influence me to do something different, but I was stubborn. So he harnessed the horse and I got in. When I came out onto the main road, I had come out behind the schoolhouse, way out in the field. I wore nose glasses and they fell off, they were on a chain, but I grabbed that and put it in my pocket. And I had Grammy Tabor's wool bonnet on my head. When I got on the main road, I dropped on the reins. And the old horse didn't want to go home, so by the time I got the rein fastened together, the horse had turned around and gone back to the barn. I went in the house and called my father. He said, "You stay right there, I'll be out after you." So he came with our driving horse, and he had all he could do to get there. I should say.
Oh, he came on horseback.
Came on horseback.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we arrived home safely a few hours later with me holding the horse from the rear and he driving the other horse. The next year, I had the honor of teaching in the city of Crossville. We had children of all ages.
Did you have many eight times. Grades?
What?
Did you have eight grades?
Well, I think I had them all. Mm-hmm. I could name them some more, but we haven't got time.
You traveled on the trolley?
I traveled on the Aroostook Valley Railroad, which went in front of my house. If I was late, the conductor would wait for me, motorman would wait for me. One day, we had a bad sleet storm, and the car was delayed about an hour. When I arrived at the school was in perfect order. One of the older girls was the teacher. And from my course of study written on the desk, she was going into every detail. That's why they walked in on Christmas. I felt quite proud of that school. And they did me many honors.
Mrs. Smith, could you tell us about the history of that Washburn Library?
In 1922, I was approached by two of the trustees to work in the library. The library was unorganized, had previously been held in the back end of a grocery store and with a few books in the high school building. We moved from the store to a building about across from the present location of the present library. And remained there for time. When the rent was raised, we moved down into a garage in what was the former Woodman building, store, Woodman store, now a garage. The books were thrown in a heap and a little building, about 2x4, was moved from the and a former horse stable was moved beside the big store. Shelves and building material was taken from the old store, which was now a garage. And for, let me see, until, when did we move up to this building? The Washburn Memorial Library was opened for business in February 1950. Well, they didn't figure that back themselves. A dedicatory service was held at the high school building. Many prominent local citizens, as well as people from neighboring towns. Their happiness in our new building. And a flag was donated at that time by Mrs. Flag was dedicated this time by Susie Johnson. The star.
She gave the flag?
Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Now, you had previously been in the little building that you were telling us about, 32 years, is that right? Before you moved into the new building.
That is correct.
How many years were you librarian altogether, Mrs. Smith?
47. In the 47 years I served as librarian, boys and girls, by means of our meager book supply, received valuable information which has carried them through life. Harriet Lewis. Is that okay? My memories of those earlier days are deeply cherished, and it is with great pleasure that I now see my dear niece employed in this valuable and inspiring occupation. And she is helping to build the future citizens of this town and the world. Interesting events which I cherish took place in our little old building. The banker's wife, Mrs. Frank, and another Mrs. Worth, Hollis Worth, were commendable readers and were on the committee for choosing the books. That is Freedom Orient. They visited the library nearly every time it was open, and our chairs were quite uncomfortable. So Mrs. Frank suggested that she have Walter bring down a rocking chair, which he did, and which was occupied by many of the townspeople. Dr. H.D. McManus came from, a medical doctor, came from New Brunswick in his early practice and remained here during his lifetime. He was a great reader, especially of detective stories and westerns. Many times he would trudge down to the library in the snow with his corncob pipe in his mouth and try to find something new to read. in a jovial way, he would walk out and say, after not finding anything, "I'll take the Buccaneer Farmer." He'd read it probably 50 times. One time he left his Concorde there, so I called him and said, "Doctor, you left your best friend in the library. You want to come and get it?" "Well, you don't get it, son of a bitch." Dr. Larrabee, our beloved physician for so many years, would meet me on the street. He was too busy to come in much. So he had various errand boys, and I was to select his books. He would always say, "Do you have anything new, Myrtle, at the library?" And I would send him up 4 or 5 new books, which I thought he would enjoy. Several times, he lost them. And he finally remembered that his favorite hiding place was under the mattress. He put him, after he'd put himself to sleep, or before he put himself to sleep. When the mattress was turned over or the sheets laundered, he would find the lost book. Another valuable customer who is still visiting the library at 80 years of age, gets weary with taking the same books, so he takes the Scattergood Bain stories to put him to sleep.
About twice a year, he reads them over again.
Mm. Well, that's...
Can you tell us about some of the famous people from our town? What about George Carter? Could you tell us something about him?
The George M. Carter was a graduate of the University of Maine from high school days. He was superintendent of schools in Washburn, then transferred to Caribou. Later became the adjutant general of the state, and a beautiful armory is built in his memory in the city of Caribou. We have his picture in our art gallery. Governor Washburn, who came from Livermore Falls and was a member of a family of 7 boys who were all politically inclined, was interested in the little town of Washburn. In 1860, when it was incorporated as a town, he was chosen as the one to name the town, therefore the name Washburn.
He named the town, or was a town named after him, but was he the one that suggested the name?
He was the governor of the state at that time, I think.
I
don't know. Nobody living would know whether he chose to have it or whether he... Yeah. I just brought... Another famous person from Aroostook who used our library during his high school days, went on to college, and later during his political career, he became the first one? Hmm? You became a
Now, who's the congressman? He became a congressman a couple of months
ago. Did I name him?
Mm-hmm.
I named him. Became a congressman of... Clifford, as we know him, was a prominent congressman in the U.S. government and gave valuable information which helps us to realize that we have a citizen to be respected and honored throughout his days. In speaking of the Strattons,
yeah, you mentioned the Strattons way back, I think.
In connection with the Stratton family, one of the descendants was Marcella Hines Gibson. She was a graduate after high school. She graduated from Bates College, then became a teacher in Washburn Schools. She was of intelligent mind and a great asset to the school and the pupils. In later years, she became a member of the DAR. To my knowledge, the only one in our town. That's quite normal. Let me see. She's a member of an officer of Rebecca Lodge. And Colvale Chapter, Ordered Eastern Star. Was district deputy of the area and later became a grand worthy matron. Her latter years were spent in Lewiston.
Yes. You tell me, Mrs. Smith, that Washburn once had a newspaper. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I have a record in my hands dated December 19th, 1914. The editor managing Edna was Franklin Collins. Treasurer and advertising manager, Earl M. Gibson, a local citizen and a band leader. This paper was published weekly and contained some interesting information.
What was the price of the paper?
The subscription rate was $1.50 a year, payable in advance.
How many years did they have it?
Many local ads were of information, as well as some of the Pascal merchants, goods, T. Sherrod, what's that? What's your business for sale? What?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hello, and Julie's door.
Mm-hmm.
In business with Pascal and with the fertilizer, is it? that dust or something.
Uncle, I don't know.
Well, potato products. C.W. Staples, who came here from Canada, had the first Washburn garage. He was had a specialty on repair work. The storage was free and had a telephone connection. His two sons are now living in Presque Isle and own the the owners of the Staples Company dusting and potato producing manufactured there. One of the Wilder residents, son of Benjamin Wilder, for years carried on a big business in the hardware department. He's had states that he can support.